Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 304, Annabelle Creation.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
You did.
Creation?
Yep. I kept thinking the movie was called Annabelle Origins, just because every movie that comes out as a prequel now is called Origins. Assassin's Creed Origins.
But a prequel to a prequel.
That's true. It's not an origin. It's a creation.
It's a creation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, before we dig in,
yes,
let's go around the table so I don't forget, and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. So we are once again Danless, but we will muddle through. So
how hard we try.
Yes. So real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. Join the League of Show Sharers by sharing a show, and you can actually join the official League of Show Sharer group. So that's always a great way to, it's an easier way for you to start conversations. You post it on the page, it gets kind of lost. You post it in the group, more people will see it.
So. It's great conversation going on there. I will say the members, I mean, they come up with questions, they come up with, you know, about movies or just in general, favorite films, worst performances, you name it. Yeah. I mean, people come up with questions for the group and a lot of good interactions. So.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So you can go join us there. So that is it for all of that stuff. Let's talk about Annabelle, shall we?
So, yeah, this is a weird movie.
Well, first of all, I just had to get this out of the way. I've never seen a Conjuring movie.
Well, you are missing out.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
The first Conjuring is really good. I have not seen the second one, but I heard it was pretty solid.
It was okay. It's tough because, like, so the first movie is based on a case that's pretty, I think there's some truth to it, but there's not a lot out there about that case. The second case that they do, like, it's pretty well known, and it's pretty well known that it was all bull. Like, it was all made up.
Right.
You know, like, Amityville has some bits of truth. Like, there's the DeFeo murders. That's real. Like, that's all on record. It has come out, not fair, but in the last 20 years that the people made up the entire story to, you know, make money. But the Edinburgh case, it's hard to separate the fact and the fiction, because the movie takes liberties with the story itself, and the Warrens are basically, like, in the real life thing, the Warrens are only there for like 24 hours, and they're telling them, like, the stories that have come out are like, Ed Warren is just like, look, man, like, we'll make you famous, like, we'll make you all this money, we'll just say, well, that there's a demon here and blah blah, and they're just like, get out, like, get, we don't want any part of this. So, like, the fact that in this movie they make Ed and Lorraine out to be these
heroes,
because one of the things I liked about The Conjuring, and I know that, like, it's based on real people,
right,
but a lot of people think that they're charlatans,
and they are.
That's what I've always heard in real life.
Yeah.
I will say, one of the things I liked about the movie is one of the first times you see them is they're debunking something.
Yes.
So it makes what comes next feel more authentic, because you see them say, no, that's not supernatural.
Right.
And so you're like, oh, okay, so they're not just the people that go out and everything's a ghost.
In
and
real
everything.
Life, they were those people.
Yeah, I kind of had that feeling.
And it's tough because Patrick Wilson and
Vera Farmiga. I like both those actors.
So, and their charisma is off the charts. Like, they are great
their
together.
Their chemistry is really good.
Yeah, like, they... Patrick Wilson is quickly becoming one of my favorite. Like, if that dude's in something, I'm
he
like,
has been
yeah,
for
I'm
a
in.
Long time. No, yeah. I think Patrick Wilson's great. I've liked him for a long time.
You know, he was the voice of the president in Batman versus Superman.
No.
Yes.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
But
were
no,
they
like,
Zack Snyder guy?
Were they? Oh, I was like, were they gonna use him as the actor and
no.
then it just got cut? Or?
No, like they had just they were just like, we need a voice for the president, and Snyder's like, I got a guy. Night Owl can do it.
Because, I mean, yeah, Night Owl, too, and watch
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
But he was in a movie. What was that one I think
Stretch.
You saw? Yeah, Stretch, where
great.
It was like, this movie came out of nowhere.
It was a Joe Carnahan movie that was just like, this is insane.
Yeah, and I caught it, and he's a limo driver, and it's just like this action movie.
he's a schlub.
Yeah.
But he's caught up in, like, this weird action movie. His girlfriend is Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Joe Carnahan, who also wrote the new Death Wish movie with Bruce Willis. Yikes.
Yeah, I don't know. Eli Roth directing.
Okay. Did you see Green Inferno?
No.
Okay, then.
Okay.
It's a mess.
I know people are torn.
It's, I mean, so.
People said that was the scariest movie ever made.
I don't know. That's ridiculous.
Maybe he said that. But anyway.
Yeah, it's the grossest, one of the grossest things I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, that's what they said. People were throwing up in the theater. I guess it got that.
It was pretty
up.
Gross.
But so I've never seen those movies and I've heard nothing but
the
good things.
The first one is out of this world.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
and
insanely
I've
good.
Heard good things. And so, but then they spun it off, I guess. So Annabelle is a doll that's in that first
one?
So
the Annabelle doll is a real thing. It's a Raggedy Ann doll.
Well, I know because I looked it up because I'm like, what is this? It's a freaking Raggedy Ann doll.
Did they say it was possessed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you look at this creepy ass thing that's in these movies. It's a Raggedy Ann
which
doll.
Which they also drop you a little, like, there's a scene in this one where a girl's holding a Raggedy Ann doll.
Right.
And so it was like a little nod. But yeah, that's
but
the,
I'm just like, really? Like,
the, well, I don't think that the Raggedy Ann
doesn't
transfer
holders
well. Oh, we're probably true. Prepared to like, yes, build a horror franchise
around this
doll.
But also, you would never be able to make it as scary with the Raggedy Ann doll.
I would
it's
agree.
So basic. I mean, it's just, you know, those
you know,
old...
I don't know. Like, I think what, you know, one of my complaints about Annabelle from a design standpoint, it's a little too on the nose for creepy.
Yeah,
like no, who would actually
nobody
want that
would
doll.
Ever see that doll and be like, let me buy that for my daughter.
This is a great idea.
Because you're right, because most of the dolls that you think are creepy, like if we went to an antique store and we saw those old dolls,
right.
Like, that's creepy. But they're creepy in a way that I won't say is necessarily ironic, but it's like we wouldn't want them. They creep us out, but
right.
They don't look like Annabelle.
Right. It's like, and, I think normally what makes those dolls look creepy is the uncanny valley, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like they're trying to make them cute, but then they have this kind of vacant look about
it's
them.
The Michael Myers mask
that makes him look that's what makes him look so creepy and
right.
This one just looks flat out creepy
It looks creepy from the get
right
yeah
so you'll have to tell me about this origin and who how this doll
okay
came to
so
be.
In the first Annabelle movie we're introduced to a couple and they're across the street. There is a murder. There's two murders that are basically... It's basically the Manson family. I don't think they can call it that because there's a rights issue.
Well,
so I think they refer to them as the family.
I think they also don't want to... I mean, they probably could if they wanted to because it's...
I guess it's in public record.
I mean, I don't think
it's
you can own the rights to a serial killing.
Yeah.
But,
they don't want to put this in real...
But they do.
I think they don't want to trivialize the Manson murders. It's just it's something like the Manson
murders. Well, I mean... Yeah, I just rewatched the first, I don't know, 20 minutes of that movie.
Yeah.
They talk about everything. Like,
yeah.
They're just like, there was, you know, they caught Charlie Manson at the ranch, and they're being put on trial for the Tate-LaBianca murders, and they mentioned Charlie Manson by name.
Did they? I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's all in Annabelle. It's all on the it's all in a newscast.
Right.
It's like, they're going over everything. Like, they talk about every single detail of that case, with the exception of, like, the extra murders.
Right.
But, yeah, they talk about the Tate-LaBianca stuff.
Hmm.
And then across the street, there's a murder, and then it's so weird. So this woman... Well, that was creepy. I'm not gonna lie right now. Whatever
creak,
that was.
Creaked,
just like the girl they get into this couple's house. This woman is pregnant. She gets stabbed in the belly, but the baby's okay, but I think the baby she has a miscarriage later. they shoot the guy. Like, the cops show up and they shoot the dude who's like one of the cult guys. Then blood from this other girl that was with the cult dude gets onto the doll, and you assume that's how the doll becomes possessed. This movie kind of rewrites that whole idea.
Yeah.
Right? So it's super, like, so we're set in the, I thought it was the 1800s. I'm wrong.
Yeah.
It was like in the 1950s. This guy,
he's like, this timeline's all messed up. When he comes over today, he's like, this timeline's all messed up. Like, it's 1850s, and then 12 years, that doesn't make any sense. And I was like, I'm like, dude, like, they're driving cars.
And
I was
just like, horse and buggies.
They are driving cars. That's right.
Oh, that's funny.
So in this one, we see a doll maker and his wife, and they've got their daughter, Annabelle, who I don't think they call Annabelle until way later. They keep calling
her, that a reveal?
Yes. They keep calling her B. So, and which is weird because that's what I call my daughter. And I was like, that's all right. Well, we're going to change my daughter's name. That's not all right.
You're going to come home today. She's going to have like those red cheeks with like, the makeup and all that.
Go to bed. So he's a doll maker, and apparently he's pretty good at it because they're going to church, and there's a guy who I guess owns the corner drugstore that is just like, hey, when are we going to get those dolls? And he was just like, they're done. They're ready. So then we go to, he has a flat tire, kind of like in Superman the movie. Like, that's exactly what I thought of. Like, in Superman the movie, when Jonathan Kent has the flat tire, and then Superman picks up the Super Baby, picks up the car with his tiny penis. they show that in that movie.
You may want to rethink.
They do.
He doesn't pick it up with his
penis. No, he doesn't pick it up with his penis. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, there's the scene when the kid crashes for the first time.
Oh, no, I totally understand. Yeah. When they open up the rocket.
No, yeah, he's just standing there, just like, wee.
Well, I don't know that I'd call it a rocket.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a baby.
He's a baby. He's a super baby, but
yeah.
Still.
But yeah.
Relatively speaking.
There was kryptonite on the spaceship.
Yeah.
And it was autumn.
Correct. It's a little chilly.
Right.
Girls, women know about shrinkage, right?
Right.
Yeah. Mine do.
Yeah.
And then he peed out of the ship onto Kent. Pa Kent.
So there's a car coming down the road, and one of the bolts falls off the tire. And then, of course, the daughter's like, I'll get it. And I'll give them credit on this cut. So she walks out in the middle of the road, and this car is flying. And they cut it like as soon as the car hits the kid.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see it, but you like
feel it.
You feel it.
I was just like, I did, like impact.
I was
and
just
then
like,
black.
I go, ugh.
Yeah, it was like, I knew from the minute we saw the daughter, I'm like, she's gonna die.
Right. This is gonna be a thing.
And so when the car breaks down, you see a truck come, I was like, this kid's dying.
It's gonna be Pet Cemetery all over again.
I knew it was coming, but it was still like, oh.
It was super jarring.
Yeah.
Because like they don't show it. They don't show you anything, but the implication is there, you know.
So, what'd she do? She went out to get one.
She's like a bolt, like one of the bolts,
like one of
the tires fell off.
Got it.
So she goes out to, she's like, I got it, and goes out and grabs it, and then gets hit by a car.
Yeah.
And then, so we flash forward 12 years. Yeah. Don't be helpful.
Yeah, I don't think she'll do that again.
No, she won't. So we flash forward 12 years. The house that was in like immaculate shape has now become a little bit decrepit. And the dad is not all there anymore. Like, he's definitely more standoffish and not as nice. And they allow their house to become a surrogate orphanage for these girls, for orphaned girls. So our two main characters are long hair blonde and short hair blonde.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically what
they
are.
The one's got a, like, a leg brace.
She had polio.
She had polio.
So her leg is in a brace.
And she, her name was Janice.
Her name was Janice.
I remember that.
That was
that.
The doll's name? I think that was the doll's name.
But they she said they liked the dolls because they look like each other.
Oh, so that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and these two, there are these two girls, and they're your main focus at this point. The other four girls aren't very nice to them. They like kind of push them off to the side, so they stick together. Like, we're not, if I go, you go, and vice versa, and all that stuff. So they get into the house, and they kind of, there's a nun with them. The priest kind of takes off, which I was just like, why would he? All right,
I know the priest
he's
was weird.
Gone.
Like, yeah,
come out.
Yeah,
all right. See you guys. Good luck.
He's like,
things are about to get creepy. I'm out of here.
Yeah. I walked in that house and it's messed up.
I think it's more like the priest is like, I like the idea that it's a house full of children, but I was really hoping for boys.
Boys. All girls.
Is it all girls?
It's all girls. It's all except girls, except for the dad. And of course, you know, Priest isn't interested in the dad.
So this is Annabelle's dad runs this?
So Annabelle's mom and dad
yeah.
run this house.
So
this
they actually
house.
Run it. I know it's their house, but they actually...
So no, the nun is in charge,
okay.
but they are giving up their house. They're like, yeah. it's been 12 years, it's been quiet.
Do they live there, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got
They're kind of like the caretakers.
Got it.
Basically. So the girls are getting acclimated to the house, and it's a, you know, this movie is... I actually enjoyed this movie. Like, I didn't think it was bad. It was definitely wasn't as bad as that first one.
Yes, I will agree with that. I think this movie's biggest problem is that it doesn't really do anything.
It's super slow.
It's slow, and it's all jump scares.
Yep.
And ultimately, I still don't understand what Annabelle does. Like, we're four movies in now.
Correct.
What does Annabelle do?
She's like bad
because there's like it's sometimes you see Annabelle and then sometimes there's like a monster and then sometimes there's Annabelle and a monster and I'm like I don't get what Annabelle does.
Does it come to life or does it just sit there?
So the okay, so we'll just speed through all this. The doll. So what happened is after Annabelle dies, the parents kind of get into some bad juju, and they invite what they believe to be their daughter. They're just like, we just, you know, they pray and they're just like, we just want to see her around. So like her ghost is like bopping around the house. Like they'll see her run down a hallway. And she's like, it just gave us some comfort to hear her in the house. Then we were like this thing asked to take possession of like this, the Annabelle doll that we have seen is like the vessel. And then, it asked to possess the vessel. So they were just like, well, yeah, then we could have our daughter back. Well, turns out it's not Annabelle. Like, it's something else.
I see.
And they've kept it locked away in this room, you know, covered in pages, which you don't really know what the pages are until they start to reveal more. And it's just like, so the first one, there wasn't much to it. Right? Like, it just wasn't very good. I thought the opening bit with the Manson stuff was good, and then it kind of fell off.
So that's the beginning of the movie, and again, I haven't seen that first Annabelle movie,
okay.
But what happens? The people get possessed by the doll kills them. What happens
in the first Annabelle is basically child's play. Like, it doesn't possess anything. Like, it's just a demon in this doll.
But does the doll come to life and start murdering people?
You never see the doll move. That's the thing. It's like,
what is it about,
people
walking on dead bodies with the doll looking over them.
Like,
or
you
what?
Would see, like, the doll would move, but you wouldn't see it move.
Right.
It would move places. Which is, I was reading about the original story, and that's what this is all based on, is that this Raggedy Ann doll would move. The owners started noticing that, you know, they would leave the room and come back and it'd move a little, then it would move a little more, then eventually it had blood stains on it, and, like, that's what this is all based on, is this really creepy happenings around this Raggedy Ann doll. So that's why I was wondering in the movie, what is the doll doing? Is it a Chucky that's murdering people? Are people just dead around?
I don't know.
It?
I don't remember.
I don't know. I mean, I've
so
seen
in
this
one, it's a demon.
We've seen two Annabelle movies, and we still don't know what the hell this doll does.
Yeah, so I think the doll is the conduit that the demon is stuck in. So,
but should we have to be asking this question?
No, we shouldn't.
I would agree. Did Annabelle pop up in Conjuring 2?
So maybe, but only because they go into that room
and you just see it in the background. Because he's got like a trophy room kind of, and it's locked up in a case, and it's
right.
So
do not touch.
In the first Conjuring movie, just to catch Kevin up, it's, you know how James Bond movies open a lot of times with that action scene that has nothing to do with the rest of the movie? That's Annabelle in the first Conjuring movie.
Like, they are responding to this. These two nurses that are freaked out by this doll.
Right.
They are the ones that respond to this.
But that really is not what the rest of the Conjuring is about.
Okay.
But it's a really good scene.
Yeah.
And so people were like, well, I want to know about that doll.
Yeah.
And so then you see the doll later in the movie. It's like locked up in this glass display case. And like, they kind of make it clear, like, this is the most evil.
He's giving an interview to a newspaper.
Like, it's like
don't
most,
touch that.
The most evil totem or whatever you want to call it that they've ever encountered. In real life, it's a Raggedy Ann doll.
In this one, it's this demented looking.
Yeah. Then they spun it off into its own movie.
Right.
It was, you know. But again, like, I still don't know what the doll really does.
Well, tell me, in that first movie...
In the first Conjuring or the first Annabelle?
No, I'm sorry, the first Annabelle. I'm just going to focus on Annabelle here. In that first movie, do people die?
Yes.
Yes.
So how do they die, or how do we see them die?
So that movie
high
came
cholesterol,
out in
20...
Yeah, yeah, heart.
Yeah.
Too much bacon.
Yeah.
So that, I think that came
Type
out in 2014. We may have covered it.
I don't think so.
I know I may have talked... It doesn't matter.
I thought we did.
I thought we did, too. But it came out in 2014, and I haven't seen it since. So I don't remember... Like how they got rid of it or how it, because like these movies, so the end of Annabelle, the beginning of Annabelle, you get the nurses. The end of the first one, I feel like it's the nurses getting the doll.
Right. So it leads into the Conjuring.
It leads it, and this one is similar. We'll get into like the how it fits itself in, but this is similar.
But so basically what you're saying is in the first Annabelle, people would die, and then whoever discovers them, I don't know if it's a character or the camera or the viewer, whoever, however we're discovering these dead bodies, Annabelle would be nearby.
I feel like Annabelle is the conduit for this demon, right? So once you bring this thing into your house, it starts to mess with your house and starts to like...
I wonder, is it Annabelle or does the demon leave Annabelle and murder people and then jump back in
that.
Annabelle?
I think that's what it is.
The demon leaves Annabelle?
Yes.
Hmm.
And I didn't realize this. So I have the Wikipedia up for the first Annabelle. Mm-hmm. And apparently, the girl that holds the doll while she dies, that girl was also named Annabelle. That's a lot of girls named Annabelle.
I'm telling you how
Wikipedia has it.
It's the same girl.
Oh, they're saying that.
So at the end of this, okay.
The girl that's dying is the slasher girl. I was thinking there was another little girl. Okay,
it's
I gotcha.
All the
I gotcha.
Same. Yeah,
yeah. No, yeah, I yeah, and yeah. I did get that when the movie ended. I didn't remember that was supposed. Yeah,
right. Spoilers.
Yeah. All right, so back to this one. So there's two girls that are the main characters
creepy house, and they're all just, you know, it's a slow burn. Like everything, it's a very slow. It's by the same guy that did Lights Out. That I actually enjoyed, like that wasn't bad either. They're nothing to write home about, but I was like, all right, that was a good little horror flick.
Okay.
So this character, so we're focused on Janice for the most part, and there's a room that she's not allowed to go into that's locked. So she sees like the slash marks on the door of like the height, and she's just like, man, I think they had a kid, and she was just like, what are you talking? So. One night that she hears what Annabelle would listen to when she was going to sleep is You Are My Sunshine on a vinyl.
Since it's in the public domain.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So I don't remember if she... Oh, it's the note. So one of the games that the dad would play with Annabelle is she would like slip him a note under his workshop door.
To play hide and seek.
And then he would write one back and then, you know, they'd do whatever. And so a note kind of flips under her door and it says, you know, come find me. So she walks outside and she goes to the door and the door unlocks itself. So she walks in and she finds this room that is in pristine condition that, you know, it's for a girl. And she's just like, what the hell is going on? So she finds this dollhouse. It's an exact replica of the house that they live in, that they're in now. And this little, she sees a little girl doll that's basically Annabelle. And the thing pops, like a little trap door pops open and a key pops out. So she goes and she looks at the same spot, finds the lock and unlocks the door. And inside this room, covered in paper, is the doll. Mm. And she was just like, I'm out of here. And, you know, closes the door. And she can't get the door to close. Like anytime she locks it, like it's popping open. And because
old houses,
it's creepy. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
They're like that.
They are.
Is settle and
then they settle again. Yeah. And, you know, so now things start to happen inside the house. I'm trying to think of what all it's just like creepy thing after.
Yeah.
Creepy
like
thing.
There's a big set piece where like so the main girl has a leg brace with polio and like she's like, well, I can't stay upstairs. And he's like, oh, no, you're fine. Because put in one of those little like chair
electric
things
chairs
that
lifts,
go up the stairs, you know, and
because his wife can't
because
walk.
His wife couldn't move around. And so he's like, you can use this. And there here's a switch. You up
gotta
for
be
up,
buckled
down
in.
For down. You got to buckle in. So there's a scene where she's
that's a pretty good scene.
It's a pretty good scene where she is trying to get away from the ghost. She's upstairs and she like hops in the chair and she buckles herself in and goes down down and like starts going down the stairs
and stops.
And then like the you do the demon or whatever like kind of like makes the chair go the other way.
Right.
Like she brings her back upstairs.
And she's already she's
I
already
turned to Chris. I was like, that ghost is literally driving her up the wall.
That's pretty good. Well done. Yeah, good job. So like she's already kind of said like, look, there's something wrong here. Like I don't know what's going on. But nobody believes her, of course. So
this doll was wrapped in paper.
No. Like the room itself.
The room itself. When you see the inside of the room, there's all sorts of
the
pages,
walls are...
pages from books. And the book turns out it's the Bible.
It's the Bible.
So the creepy doll was just sitting there.
They have this this secret room that the doll has been locked in
now
for the last 12 years.
Sorry, I thought that it was wrapped up. And I'm like, did she ever unwrap it?
Yeah.
I
get
it. Okay.
And so, and then when she's in the chair lift... picks her up and then drops her
from
to
the
floor,
second floor down
and breaks her other leg.
They basically say she can't walk.
Yeah.
So now she's stuck in a wheelchair.
See, I think I would like the movie better if instead of going after the other kids, if the movie had just kept picking on the polio girl. Like,
she becomes the antagonist.
Yeah. If like she would have been just this weird focus of this ghost that
because
just
it
keeps
was so
picking
weak.
On her and nobody believes her
right.
and things keep happening. Like that
they
would
do kind of. They
a
do
little
that,
bit.
But then they flip it about three-fourths through.
So what I want to ask now is, you know, because I'm just looking at this from the outside and hearing the story. When she goes to the door and the door unlocks itself and she
the door. So there's a key that she unlocks the door to begin with.
Oh.
And she opens the door. And then she like sees the doll and she gets the weird feeling and she closes the
door. I thought the door unlocked itself.
The door keeps popping
and then the door won't stay shut.
Right.
No, even if
she
locks
the key?
It. So there's inside the dollhouse, there was a secret compartment and it pops open while she's looking at it.
Oh, the dollhouse wasn't in the room with the doll.
No. It was outside.
I'm sorry.
So in Annabelle's main bedroom.
And she was told, don't go in
this
room.
Don't go in. Whatever you do, don't go in this room.
Okay.
Of course.
And you think it's because it's a shrine to this girl.
Yeah.
It was the girl. It was Annabelle. The real Annabelle's
right.
room.
It's a prison for
but
this
it's really, it's the prison
it
for this
turns
doll.
Out. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, now we're on. Okay.
Yeah. So we're moving forward, and this now the girl is just like, she's super depressed because now she has to sleep on the couch. She can't stay with her friend. Her friend is also kind of starting to bail on her, where she's like, because her friend is completely normal. Like, she's just her friend who won't go play with the other girls because she doesn't want to leave her cripple friend
behind.
Does
she believe the stories about this
craziness?
She
begins to. Mm. So with Janice on the couch, we are now starting to focus. Our main hero, quote unquote, is this other girl, her friend. So now her friend goes in the room and it is insane. Like, it goes crazy pants. Like, she's there's a scene where there's this, they sleep on bunk beds. So like the cripple girl's on the bottom and she's on the top, and she comes running back in and she jumps up and she hears these footsteps and she feels something like plop into the bed underneath her. So like she looks over the edge of the bunk bed and she can see like these black footprints, like, you know, on the carpet and then into the wall and then going into the bed, like underneath her. And there's a pretty cool scene where like she leans over the part where she would get out, but like the part of the bed that's closest to the wall. And I'm pretty sure she sees something in the bed and she just like throws the covers over her head and, you know, wakes up the next morning. And
Scenes like that. That's like looking in the sewer and seeing it.
It's bad.
Like, you know
bears.
What I mean?
Like,
yeah,
I don't
like any
look.
Scene where you go into some kind of hole, crevice, anything, and there's a face or something. Oh,
right.
That's
right. And I will say the demon, you see the demon later and it looks pretty good. Like it's a good looking. Yeah. I mean, they spent a little bit of money on
what does it look like?
So it's just like a big, it starts off as like a big black mass basically. And then,
oh, the smoke monster,
the smoke
Lost.
Monster. From Lost. Yeah. Right.
Oh my gosh. It's been 10 years.
But like you only see it in flashes. And the only thing I can compare it to is, okay, the scene in Thriller when Michael Jackson turns around for the first time in that preliminary werewolf makeup, it resembles that, right? So it's got big teeth, yellow eyes, like pale skin. It's a pretty creepy demon, but you only see it for a split second. Other than that, it's basically like a big shadow like coming over the light and things like that.
You know what I have a problem with movies like this, the supernatural movies that do this kind of stuff? This is just in general. With this all-powerful demon that's possessing this doll and then can leave and have this form and terrorize the children and all that, it's stopped by a locked door.
Well, there's a reason.
Okay. It was actually contained for a reason. Okay.
It was contained
because
for a reason.
Because it's like,
yeah.
if it's just a locked door, but it's this powerful.
No, there's a, yeah. Okay. There's other stuff. There's like, other wards, okay. if you will, that's yeah. keeping it inside.
Okay. Well, as long as there's some reason for that, because I'm yeah. like, sometimes the bad horror movies that just have a monster terrorizing, sometimes the rules are just weird where right. it's like, oh, it can do this, but it can't do that. And sometimes it's just like the logic of it. Not that you're always looking for logic, but it's
always
some point,
looking for logic, Kevin.
Yeah.
yeah. But you want some sort of, like
right.
you want to give me yeah. something.
But it's the
rules,
same,
I guess.
Like,
at the same time, this franchise frustrates, because I still don't know what the rules are with this doll. Like, you know
there
what I mean?
Are none.
Like, I don't understand.
And
like,
they make it
how
worse
it works,
as we go forward.
How it's supposed to work, what the doll can do, what the doll can't do,
right.
what contains the doll, what doesn't contain the doll. I mean, basically, it seems like anything Christian
yeah,
contains
basically.
The doll.
Well, that's what's confusing, too, is because it's like, yeah, when does the demon leave the body of Annabelle?
You got to think Israel is just littered.
All over the place
with Annabelle dolls,
all
just
dolls.
Possessed animal. if you're a ghost, go straight to Israel.
That's where you want
to
go?
Dubai, like that's where you want to be.
You've got a plethora.
India, like you. This just it's just
all kinds of stuff to choose from.
It's easy pickings.
Yeah,
it's easy pickings.
Easy pickings.
Why are there so many people in India?
I don't know.
The ghosts should be picking them off left and right because they're not Christian. There's
right.
nothing.
There's nothing
to stop,
nothing to stop them
there. Not a thing will stop them in
nope.
India. Not.
You know what? They're scared of overseas travel.
We should make
water.
Right,
they
right.
won't cross water.
Cross
we
should
water.
Make Those are a, vampires.
We should make a horror franchise.
And Annabelle's.
Yeah.
We should make a horror franchise where there's like a ghost exchange program, right? And all the ghosts from India come over here to haunt people, and all the ghosts from America go over to India to haunt people. There would be nothing to stop them. They would be like, "I'm not scared of Ganesh."
We get like the evil elephant with 20 arms with
yeah.
daggers in it.
And we're just
and
like,
then,
"God dang
and
it!"
They get Annabelle.
Yeah, they get Annabelle, which is feel like. Is way better. I think we got the short end of that deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this girl, she's super depressed, but
Wait a minute. You think that an evil demon elephant with 20 arms holding daggers is worse than a doll?
Yeah.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
You don't think an evil elephant demon with 20 arms holding knives would be cooler than a doll?
No, I think it'd be scarier than a doll. It's
oh.
a giant elephant with
well,
20
right.
arms and knives.
Okay.
That's
you
awful.
Mean,
that
you
sounds
mean we
terrifying.
Got the bad end because we're going to die more?
Yes!
Oh, okay.
I thought you were saying
that's why I'm like,
we didn't get the cool monster.
Right, that's
no.
what I'm saying. I'm like, Annabelle's a doll. I'm like,
no.
that thing sounds awesome.
We got the end of that deal. So the girl is becoming, so what they're saying is like this demon, like demons tend to prey on the weak. Not the weak in body, but the weak in spirit. So this demon is breaking down this nine-year-old girl, basically. She's breaking her faith.
Nine-year-old girls are so weak.
We'll see. Let's see. I saved you for that one. You're welcome. So they're just breaking her down spiritually. And finally, there's a scene where she's sitting outside. She goes outside for the first time in a long time. And she's just, the nun who is kind of like the caregiver to all of these girls. She's like, "Are you okay?" And she's like, "Yeah, the sun actually feels pretty good." And then all of a sudden, you see what you think is the nun coming behind this girl in the chair and just start and is pushing her down this hill into the workshop. She falls out of the chair breaks. She falls out of the chair. Now she's being what she sees Annabelle, like she sees Annabelle's ghost, but it's not Annabelle's ghost, right? It's the demon. So this girl is like, it's a pretty good scene too, like where she's in the workshop and she can't use her legs. So she's like trying to like army crawl away. The demon catches her and pukes like black sludge into her mouth.
Ugh.
It was kind of gross. Like,
yeah,
it was pretty gross. But at that point,
worse
I was like,
"Worse than a turkey baster."
Worse than a turkey baster full of semen. Mm, the demon.
No, it's not.
Tom's like, "Give me the black demon sludge any day."
Yes,
any day.
I don't want the turkey baster full of cum like in my mouth. I will take the black semen.
Any
black,
part of me, really.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't want it anywhere near me.
It's not like, a mouth exclusive thing.
I just don't want it anywhere near my body.
Correct.
In general. So at this point, I was like, "Well, there. All right. Like you're the demon now." Yeah. And that's what happens. Is now she's possessed. And she won't like this doll. This doll is with her at all times, which that's the weird part. Like,
so she carries Annabelle around now.
She carries the doll around with her. And I was just like, well, if you've transferred from
right.
that's where I get,
anymore,
she doesn't need the doll anymore.
I think it's because people paid to see an Annabelle movie.
I guess that's true.
And
they turn it into a possession movie.
We got to show them some Annabelle.
Right.
You know?
So the other girl is kind of just like,
you then know, it starts kind of picking off, trying to pick off the other kids.
Now it's messing with, there's another good scene where like these two girls who I feel like they toyed with the idea of them being lesbians,
yeah,
and they didn't pull the trigger for whatever reason.
How old are these kids?
These two girls are like 16. I would say they're two.
There's
16.
A range. There's there's like probably like 8-9 year olds, and then there's like
two older girls.
There's a couple that look like they're 12 to 14,
yeah,
and then there's some that looks like they're just about to age out of the system.
That's these two girls who are kind of the
age out in a sexy way.
Is this PG-13 or R?
PG-13. I think all these have been PG-13.
Right. The Conjuring, I think, were both R.
No,
is that right?
They were PG-13.
Wow.
I remember when that movie came out that it's like, this is rare to see a PG-13, because it's if you think about the first Conjuring movie, as scary as it is,
there's no gore,
there's no grossness.
Yeah,
it's all just
no boobs.
It's all, yeah, there's no sex. It's all mood. And
that's true.
And ambiance, and which I know is another word for mood, and and jump scares, and
how would be atmosphere.
It's a little ambiancey,
is it?
Yeah, but I was hoping it would be more mood driven.
That movie's as good as it is because that cast kicks so much ass.
Yeah. Everybody came to play.
Lily Taylor, Ron Livingston.
Yeah,
and then
those are probably the two big. Well, and then Patrick Wilson,
and Night Owl too.
Night Owl two, and
Up in the Air.
Night Owl two, and
Up in the Air stewardess.
No, yes. And what's her, oh damn it, Bates, Norma Bates.
She's not the stewardess. She's
not the steward. Yeah. She's
Norma Bates on Bates Motel.
That's right.
Yeah. Which was an awesome little show if you haven't seen it.
But yeah, I mean, like everybody came. They brought the heat. They didn't. They could have easily went B horror movie.
Yep.
I'm just gonna take my paycheck and move on. But instead, they all brought the heat.
It was great. And then, man, Kevin, I really like. I'll give you my Plex account to watch The Conjuring.
I love Lily Taylor. I think she's great in everything.
She shows up in random stuff.
She does.
Yeah. Yeah. Who is that?
Lily Taylor.
You would know her if you saw her.
What's she been in?
She was on 6 Feet Under. Did you ever watch that? I'm trying to think of what else.
I feel like she's one of those quirky little.
She does a lot of art house stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
She made a movie with River Phoenix years ago called Dogfight.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
It's really good, and it takes place in the late 60s. It's about a soldier who's going off to war, and him and his military buddies decide to have a dog fight, quote unquote. And basically they're all supposed to go out and try and pick up like the ugliest chick they can find and bring her back to the
familiar.
And then whoever has the ugliest chick wins. And so he goes out and picks up Lily Taylor.
Oh yeah.
And she's got a unique look about her. I would not refer to her as ugly. I think she's kind of cute, but she's definitely has a unique look about her.
Yeah, I found her picture. Yeah.
And then they all, is that who was in the movie? Was River Phoenix?
It is. She is known for that. Let me look. 1991 Dogfight. Yep.
Yeah.
What year did he die?
A couple years after that, I think 93 or something.
What would things be like with him? I mean, as an actor, you know,
Leonardo DiCaprio,
right?
Like that's if he had stayed clean, and he could, you know,
potential.
That dude, that's just.
But anyway, so she figures out that she's
possessed, and she goes to the
I was going to talk about Dogfight.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
She figures out why he picked her up, and then there's this weird this thing where it's like he really likes her. But he's also like not physically attracted to her and doesn't know what to do with that. But he's emotionally attracted to her. And it's really, it's almost like one of the, Before Sunrise type movies. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Where it's a lot of just them walking and talking, you know, but it's a really good movie if you can find it.
Okay, cool.
I guess I thought, maybe not. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, Dogfight.
No. Annabelle.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Two.
That's what we're talking about. If you want to go find it, it's called Dogfight. It's really good.
So our other girl who was like our main character is kind of not anymore, realizes that
she's the songwriter friend that's in love with Joe.
Yeah.
Joe lies when he cries.
Good call.
Yeah.
Well done. See, that's what happens is Dan's not here to jog his memory or vice versa.
Yeah.
It's just us two. So she figures out that this doll is bad news. Nun is kind of not on board, but she thinks that something is up in the house, to where finally
she smack anybody with rulers.
No, this is a hot nun. Like
what?
Like this chick is attractive.
Yeah, like she's
Maria.
Way, Yeah, she's way too hot to be a nun. Like that. Yes.
So there's also a weird scene
where they sing a song about Maria.
No.
That she's a polybity gibbet.
What is that?
From The Sound of Music.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
How do you solve a problem like Maria? And one of the lyrics is she's a polybity gibbet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've never seen The Sound of Music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
So, like, she is talking to the dude who, I can't remember, I keep thinking Higgins, but that's what Annabelle's name becomes later. It doesn't matter. you know, also the guy who plays the dad is another one of those guys where I was like, is that a Baldwin?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
Anthony LaPaglia.
Okay. So he kind of he's talking to the nun, and she's like, oh, you know, I came from Romania. And she's looking at this picture, and she's like, these three sisters, like, really helped me. Like, they were my mentors. And then there's, like, a shadowy part of the picture. And he goes, who's that? And she was like, who's who? And she's like, oh, I never noticed that one before. Okay. So in The Conjuring 2, one of the demons in The Conjuring 2 is this nun that has been plaguing Ed Warren since he was a child.
Oh, wow.
And that's the next spinoff. So they reference this nun in this movie.
That's an interesting tie-in.
Well, so like, I was just like, well, that is a weird, weird way to tie in all of these
movies.
And how
did she take a picture without someone, with somebody sitting next to her, and she didn't know?
She's not next to her. So, like, if you look at the picture, there's the four nuns.
Okay, right.
And then there's, like, an archway in shadow.
And there's, like, a fifth nun.
And but she's, like, in the
shadow. Behind the grassy knoll.
Yeah, right, right. But I was just like, all right, so that's going to be... So this... I have a feeling this nun might show up in The Nun.
Is that Sister Charlotte?
Yes. Right? Like, Sister Charlotte... has no business being a sister. You know what I'm saying? Something happens where the nun is on board, where she's like, yep, something's up. What
she
the hell's going
that
on?
Creepy doll?
No, like the doll.
Like,
oh, no, because that's what it is, right? So the girl is, she sneaks the doll away from her friend, and she runs it out.
How?
She's asleep.
Oh.
And, like, she's just like, it's
on her.
So
the crazy possessed friend still just, like,
she's kind of still normal.
And,
yeah. Okay. Like, what's, she's only 9, Kevin. She's got to sleep.
Well, she is a crazy demon horse, yellow eyed monster.
They need their sleep.
Nap time.
Nap time.
Okay.
Your vessel only goes for so long.
Yeah.
If Supernatural has taught me anything.
Okay.
So
no,
she
that show's never going to end, apparently.
It
so.
Is. This is the season
really?
After
oh,
this.
Okay.
Like, yeah, this
I'm
next
sorry.
Season's, I know.
R.I.P.
I mean, 13 seasons
that's
on the
a lot.
CW. That's
a lot.
That's a lot of show. That's yeah. a lot of seasons for a network show.
And they'll probably never have to starve again. 13 seasons, they're probably going to have.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
They
have their own con. They have a supernatural con just for
they
them.
They can make a living just going to cons.
Yeah.
So
like, but they're good to
it's
go.
Weird. So, like, Jensen Ackles was in the remake of My Bloody Valentine and
3D
yeah. He's the bad guy, spoilers. And then Jared Padalecki was in the remake of Friday the 13th as the hero. Well, that was a weird movie because there's no final girl. Like, he's the final girl where they flip, like they're going after his sister, but he's like the hero of the movie. And it didn't do as well because it was a dude instead of a girl.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then they've never done anything else since then. They're just like, what are we doing? Supernatural season 14? I'm in. Sure, why not?
So the nun is on board.
So this girl takes the doll. She's going to throw it into this well just to get it away from everybody. So the nun goes out after this chick, and she's just like, stop, don't, whatever you do. So she's like, well, let's just go back inside. We'll talk about it. She tosses Annabelle into the well, and then she hears like a thing coming from the well. So this idiot girl like leans over face first into the well and is about to get pulled in. The nun saves her and throws the thing, like the cover. And she was like, we need to get back inside. We need to figure out what the hell's going on. So they go inside. And this is where they talk to the husband. And he was just like, and he gives him the lowdown. Tells him exactly what happened.
That's just my possessed daughter.
Yeah, right. So he's just like, look, we contacted somebody. We thought we were doing the right thing. We just wanted to talk to our daughter. Turns out we did the wrong thing. The reason we never
see... They watched Do the Wrong Thing.
Yeah, right, right.
The other...
The reason we never see the wife anymore is because she went after that. Like, she tried to get the doll out of the house. Like, she used a crucifix and doing the whole, like, sort of exorcism, but not really knowing what the hell you were doing. And it, like,
hopefully not like Linda Blair used a crucifix.
No, not like Linda Blair used a crucifix, which I'm reading that book right now.
Yeah.
It's, there's a lot more to that book.
Oh, absolutely.
I am shocked.
I read the book, but it's been, I mean, I read it when I was in high
school. There's so many more characters.
Did you pick it up on Kindle when it was $1.99?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I'm also doing it on Audible. So, like, I'll read a chapter while I'm home, then I'll go, anyway. But yeah, like, there's so many more characters in that book that aren't even addressed in the movie at all. So
the weirdest thing is, in the book, she ends up running for president.
Strange how that happens.
Yeah,
well, that was the Omen.
Her name is Reagan.
That's true. Doesn't he become president in the Omen? He does become president. It's Sam Neill.
In the movies, the book is just the Omen. I think it's done.
Oh, but, no, like the Omen 3.
But in the movies, Final Conflict. Yeah. Omen 3, The Final Conflict.
Starring
and then
Jurassic
there were,
Park,
I believe
Sam
there
Neill.
Were two made-for-TV versions.
Oh, really?
That came, like, that continued the story that were supposed to be like...
They remade that.
They did try. It didn't...
Who was in that?
I forget, but it did not do
no,
well.
No, it didn't do well.
Yeah. For their sake, we won't.
I feel like
it was
Timothy Oliphant. Like, I don't know why. I think that's
probably
really, so the dad kind of lays out the deal. He's like, "Look, we messed up." So, like, the demon attacks the mom and, like, claws her face off. So, like, the entire time she's wearing, like, this Phantom of the Opera mask, and you can't really figure out what the hell's going on. So that she takes her mask off, and she's got this huge, like, claw mark. They capture the demon into Annabelle. They put Annabelle into this closet. They lace it with
Bible
passages, and they lock the door.
So
and everything's been cool for 12 years.
They don't move. Why?
I don't know. I'd be like, you know what? Just burn it down. Like, let's poltergeist it.
Do they ever explain why they can't destroy the doll?
No, there's no, that is one of the parts that I have a problem with, where there's no explanation.
When I was reading about it, apparently whatever this is based on, the people that this doll terrorized, some kind of a spirit guide, soothsayer, fortune teller, whatever, you know, person was advising them on this, said you can't, because that would release the spirit to possess a human, which would be worse than it being trapped in a doll.
Well, in this movie,
which is exactly what it's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they didn't destroy the doll in real life because the person told them that that would move the spirit to a human and would be a worse thing to deal with.
I gotcha.
So I just didn't know if the movies ever addressed destroying the doll.
No.
Okay.
Just real quick. Omen, 1976. Damien, Omen 2, in 78. Omen 3, The Final Conflict, in 81. And then Omen 4, The Awakening, in 91.
Also starring Sam Neill?
I don't believe so. That was a made-for-TV movie.
Okay.
And then they tried a remake in 2006, which starred Julia Stiles and Liev Schreiber.
Hmm. Oh, all right. They killed them
Liev Schreiber.
Shockingly enough. I like Liev Schreiber.
Yeah, he's great.
I do too. Yeah, he's good
stuff. He's great. I've never seen that Ray Donovan.
If it was not John Voight and Liev Schreiber, it would be garbage. Like, they are good enough that they elevate the show. I only watched the first season, and I gave up.
Okay.
Sister
Charlotte was a Bond girl in Spectra.
Oh,
Spectra.
Yeah,
Spectra.
She was.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
just so you know.
Ta-da!
She's a Bond girl, you're right.
Also doesn't need to be a nun.
Right.
They lay the whole story out. They've got this thing in the... So because who we thought was our main girl opened the door, she unleashed the demon out again. So there was a cool scene where, like, the two older girls are, like, under a blanket with a flashlight telling a story.
This is the scene, but you have my attention.
This is the scene where I was like, are they gonna kiss?
Yeah.
Are they not gonna kiss? Okay. So, but, like, the mom, like, has this bell that she rings to get, you know, so the husband can come in and help her. And it was a pretty cool scene where, like, they're under this blanket, and you see, like, a silhouette moving outside of them, but all they have is the flashlight, and the flashlight goes out, and then it's all through moonlight. And I was like, that's kind of a cool, like, I liked the look of the scene was good, the scare was good, but that, you know, whatever.
See, that stuff's way more creepy than jump scares.
I think,
you know,
that's what The Conjuring builds and builds and builds and builds.
That tension with the creepy scenes like that's what the difference between a good horror movie and a bad one is.
Yeah.
forget the crappy jump scares, which it sounds like this is most of in this
most
movie.
Of it. Yeah.
And you have
yeah.
to build up that, again, the ambiance.
And they weren't even necessarily bad jump scares.
No, they were earned.
It's just, I felt like they weren't attached to a story.
Yeah. Just, we got to put something
that
in
was
here.
Very good.
Yeah, you know?
We got to put a scare in here somewhere. Otherwise, we're not going to.
Right, that's the problem when a jump scare is done just for the sake of being cheap, just a cheap jump scare. You know, right. adding it in there without it really building up the tension and deserving it. You know,
yeah. they had the idea. Also, I'm tired of the head fake jump scare, where like.
This where movie, it's not a scare.
This movie opens with one.
Yeah, where it's not a scare.
Where
exactly.
it's like waiting, and then it's like jump scare, but it's like, oh no, it's a cat walking across
exactly.
the lawn.
Or like we
the first jump scare of this movie is a fake out. It's,
yeah,
it's where the girl they're playing hide and seek, and he comes up behind the girl and is like, bah!
Right,
you know. Yeah.
But there's like the scene where like they're closing. I think this is like Candyman. It's kind of one. Well, probably not. But where you close the
mirror,
the mirror, and there's nothing, and like you think there's supposed to be yeah. something there, but there's not. I'll tell you what. One of the best ones ever is in Sinister, where Patrick Wilson again, who's in those movies, like you see something. You're talking to him normally, and it's just cutting back and forth between the two characters, and they cut to him, and there's a thing
there's
behind
something.
It. Woo!
Yeah,
that was a good one.
Yeah, the movie does a lot of things with stuff in the background. It yeah. does a lot of really good things. I will give it credit for this with sound. It does a lot.
Sound
of
editing was very good.
Like surround sound going
yeah,
around.
Yeah, like I will say one of like not one of the best jump scare in the movie for me was sound driven.
Yep.
Because all of a sudden it sounded like someone was behind me.
Yes.
Like it's
like,
I thought
you hear like
walked
you're,
in
you're
or
like
something
footsteps, like
that.
Like bouncing around.
That's yeah.
Colors.
And
this I think it's the same scene.
Yeah. And I really think that movies, especially horror movies, they don't use sound yeah. enough.
Yeah.
Well, seeing but that's what jump scares are though. Jump scares aren't really the cut. It's the cheap sound that they do really loud.
Yeah.
That's what gets you. It's not the vision necessarily of seeing something. It's
yeah.
they the cheap ones. That's what's cheap about them is they just artificially go and that freaks you out. Goes
right.
from silence to loud.
Yeah.
So you know, but what you're doing is like a creepy buildup
right.
type of sound.
And that's what that was.
And that is yeah, that's a more effective way.
Yeah. Because yeah, what you're describing is like, yes, I have reflexes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
right. Like, yes. If you're quiet and all of a sudden this thing's loud, you're. Gonna,
it's like when people
yeah.
be like, oh, two for flinching. Yes.
Well, yeah.
I have reflexes.
That happens.
Yeah. I have failed as a man.
Right.
What are we doing?
You threw a punch at my face. What yeah. was I supposed to do? Oh,
not
no, go ahead and hit me. It's
not
fine.
Not if you're a baby.
Not if you're a baby. That's true.
What? No, baby from baby.
No, I know.
Oh. Well, I mean,
like,
I don't.
Wait, are you punching
yeah.
babies? I mean, whatever you do in your free time, Kevin, that's up to you. Just don't.
Hey, I
know.
Said baby, not a baby. Remember? John yeah. Bernthal even gives him credit for
it.
It was
pretty
like,
good.
Yeah.
So now all of the girls are scattered throughout this play, and it basically comes down to the nun and the girl. And they somehow they trick the girl into getting back upstairs. She gets the girl back into the room with the doll. She throws the kid into this room and they lock the door. And they do kind of a poltergeist thing where
is it just one girl possessed? It's
yeah,
that
it's one
friend
girl.
Still.
Yeah, that's it.
Have any kids died?
No.
Okay. No one's died?
No. They're all alive.
Okay.
Like the only people that have died. So at this point, the mom and the husband are both dead.
Oh.
Like, they did kill both of them.
How'd they end up killing them?
The dad is attacked by the demon and has, like, the weird thing on his face. And he, like, his body has, like, caved in.
Oh.
The mom is disemboweled.
Ew.
Like, put up on a wall, guts. Mm. That was the only gore scene in the movie is, like, her guts are hanging
yeah.
out from the, like, she's in a crucifix position.
Mm.
So they get the girl. They get the girls out of the house. All of the electricity goes out. Pop, 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 pop. Everything goes out. And then the cops show up. They get the girls out of there. When the cops go in, and they unlock the door. And I was like, you idiots. But now there's a hole in the wall. So, like, the doll's in the room, but there's this hole in the wall. And our main Janice is gone.
Mm.
So the movie flashes forward about a year.
So that is weird. Again, the rules of the thing is it's like, so what's the doll doing? If it can't
right.
inhabit a human, why do they need the doll?
Right, and there's only one of these dolls that's been made.
Yeah.
Like, they make
oh,
a
I
point.
Oh, I thought he made the whole shipment of these dolls.
Well, they show you making a doll, and they're limited series. It says
one of 100. Yeah.
And so you if he makes more, you certainly never see him do it.
Right. I think the dolls that they were referencing were other dolls. Like, he's a
toy maker.
So this was one of 100 and never, you
and
don't
never
think another
never
one.
I don't think they, yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. So we flash forward about a year, and we...
How's Sister Charlotte doing?
I think she's doing all right. Yeah. I don't know. So we never see her again, unfortunately. So we're at an orphanage, and they're just like, you know, we've got this one girl, and she's been super quiet. Initially, I was like, oh, all right, they're going to adopt the normal girl.
Mm.
Not the case. So they go in.
She's infiltrated. The bad ones.
Well, now also, like, the polio's gone. Like, she can walk again normally. So, and I'm looking at the two parents, and I was like, why do I know who these people are? Like, why do they look so familiar? So the girl turns around, and it's
the evil one.
The evil one. And she was like, oh, my name's Annabelle. And we're just like, okay. So
now she's taking on the name of Annabelle.
Correct. And they give her the Raggedy Ann doll. Like, she's like, we have a doll for you, and they give her the Raggedy Ann doll.
Oh, regular Raggedy Ann doll.
Right.
Yeah, like a nod.
It was fine. Like, it was fine. So then they take a picture, and it's the three of them, and then you see her getting old. Like, they cut through pictures of her getting older, and then they go to 12 years later, and this end sequence is the beginning of the first Annabelle. And we find out that the woman, so like they reference in the first Annabelle that this woman, this couple who live across, who next door to the main couple that we're introduced to, their daughter has pretty much taken off, and we don't know what's going on. So the only scene we see in the first Annabelle is through a window, but we don't know what the hell's going on, right? We get the opposite shot from this, right? So the end of this movie is the beginning of the first Annabelle, but it's from the perception of the parents who adopted that girl in our movie,
yeah,
right?
What happens?
The daughter that went missing
murders
them.
And she's like the polio girl all grown up.
Yes. Right. They show you her picture 12 years later,
So if she's so evil, why did she wait 12 years to kill her parents?
I don't know. Like, that's the part that doesn't make sense.
Maybe
and then how did this woman...
Because
they're retconning it onto this
movie. They did, but like, how did the doll... So like, in that movie...
So now, yeah, what does the doll do
with
anything?
So like, in Annabelle, it's a plot point that like, the husband buys the Annabelle doll for his wife. But how the hell does it get from... What the coincidence that the doll that was possessed has now emerged with the same girl that it possessed. Does that make sense? Right.
Well, so it was in this house for the girls, and that's where they left it when the police came.
Right.
This girl leaves, grows up
12 years later.
So how does it get to the second Annabelle or the first Annabelle?
So they say the husband buys it, and the wife has been looking.
So
for
he
this
just
doll.
Happens.
He just happens to buy this one doll that has a tie to the adopted daughter of the next door neighbors.
Right.
Right.
Like, this people he just moved into. So, like, I appreciate the fact that they tied it in, but it doesn't make any sense.
But now the girl's not connected to the doll anymore.
Well,
I mean, the doll's
so she,
left at the house, and
so I will
the
say
demon,
she bleeds. Yeah, she bleeds onto the doll in the first Annabelle movie, and then I don't know. What
I'm
happens.
Just saying that the demon doesn't need the doll.
Well,
she's left,
but the vessel is killed. Right, so in the first movie, the daughter
so
is.
So maybe when she bleeds, she puts herself
she puts,
back.
She puts
into
the demon
the doll,
back into the doll.
But I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So like, I appreciate the fact that they tried to tie it in together. It was just kind of sloppily done.
Right. It sounds like that's all it was trying to tie it together.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if they could have.
But there was no real way to figure that out. Like, I went back and rewatched the first 20 minutes
right,
of Annabelle
to see how
like,
it
how does this
bookended,
fit in?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a worthy effort. It was. I would say that it's better than the first one. It's not as good as the two Conjurings.
Yeah. No, it's not even close. I've only seen the first one, but it's not even close.
I mean, because it sounds at least somewhat interesting, because from what you described the first Annabelle movie as, it sounds like nothing happens. Like, you guys couldn't even really what anyone did in
it. I think
it.
They
like,
make her like out to be, because like she loses the baby, but they make her out to be crazy. They make the woman out to be crazy, I think. I don't remember.
People die and the doll's around. Like, it just seems like nothing really. It's just like creepy, like the lights turn on and there's a doll, I'm guessing.
I see what they were trying to do with this one. I appreciate the effort. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
It deserves. I'm glad I made that much money. Like, good for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
So
there it is. Go watch the Conjuring one.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's
the video
recovery.
And so there are two. Yeah. There are two more. So I think there's a Conjuring 3 coming.
Oh, absolutely.
But I don't. Like, James Wan is so booked until, like, after Aquaman. I don't know what he's got. But anyway, so then there's The Nun. There's two bookends to this movie where they go back to the doll for a brief second, and they play a little bit of a clip from The Conjuring, like a music cue. And then the last, at the end of the credits, they reveal the nun in the picture. So that's the next part we're going to get.
Yeah.
So what's the other one? The nun, and then what else?
The Conjuring 3.
Oh, okay.
So this franchise has two spinoffs.
I see. Yeah. Which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
What happened to Paranormal Activity? Is that done?
Oh, yeah.
That's
done.
Okay. I'm sure they'll reboot it in 5 years or something. But yeah.
They did. One and two were consecutive, happening at the same time. Three was a prequel. Four was a different story altogether. And then five was supposed to tie.
Five was the
ghost dimension.
Like the Latino one.
That's four.
Yeah, okay. The marked ones is four, yeah. And then the ghost dimension is five, and the ghost dimension killed it.
Gotcha. Like, I remember that was
one,
the king
two,
of
and one, two, and three. Man, that was those are some good flicks. I like those a lot. And then they went
I think
off
the it
rails.
Was I saw one a few weeks after release, and I think it was overhyped because Blake and I went and saw it, and there was no crowd. I think I've told the story before, but we went and saw like a daytime screening because we were seeing another movie, and so we saw two, and it was like, you know, 1 p.m. two other people in the theater, so without a crowd we watched them. We're like, this isn't that scary. I think it's when everyone is at night in a packed theater.
I
and
saw that illegally in my basement in the dark. And it was just like,
I could see being by yourself and being scary, with a
movie.
Crowd being,
especially because since it's all kind of like a found footage thing, watching it, that's a movie that kind of benefits from not seeing it on a big screen.
It does,
in some ways.
No,
so,
I agree.
Yeah,
but there you go.
Well, I guess that's it for this episode. I guess let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, join us, won't you, at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. You can also join the League of Show Sharers there. It's not just a way to share a show, it's also a Facebook group now, so you can join there and kind of start a conversation a little bit more easily. So
we'll talk to you.
We're pretty good. So so that's it for this episode. I don't know what is the movie of the
Assassin's Bodyguard.
The Hitman's Bodyguard
will be next week, so that sounds interesting.
Oh man, Ryan Reynolds and Sam Jackson.
I hope it's funny.
Let's do Deadpool and Nick Fury all
fingers,
day.
Fingers crossed, yeah, but fingers it's also crossed. Coming out in August. So
also true.
Don't forget that. But then again, Guardians of the Galaxy came out in August.
That's
Ant-Man came out in August. Superbad came out in August. So sometimes
they have a hit.
Sometimes you get surprised. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. And until next time.
Raul Julia says hello.
Yeah. And until next time, Keith is decapitated by a sheet of window glass.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.